What is up, everybody? Thank you for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Today's all about Jamal Murray. This might be a shorter podcast today. I haven't decided. I always say that, and my podcasts are always a half hour, so we shall see. This doesn't need to be a tremendously long one, but I want to respond to some things that has been happening and swirling around Jamal Murray. We kind of addressed that in the second half of the last podcast, but I kind of want to, after he had a poor game for Team Canada in the friendly against the United States last night, Troy Rank asked him about the contract situation and all that stuff with the Nuggets, and of course Jamal Murray had a bitchy answer, but we'll get to that in the due course in this podcast. But first, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports and betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, and right up to the top fights in the UFC and MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of their over their 150 slots games. God, I can't talk today. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that is B-L-E-A-V in all caps, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. That is promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V in all caps, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. This hasn't been a good summer or spring for Jamal Murray. And it really, if you want to go back to it, it started with the injury he suffered towards the end of the regular season. You could even argue it began the previous summer when Jamal Murray made the bet on yourself move, with the rejecting the Nuggets' first extension offer to him. And I'm not going to tell a guy how to do his business. So the rejection of the extension, which I've talked about several times on this podcast, where I've talked about how it contributed to some weirdness last year, particularly with Jamal himself. He bet on himself, and 9 games into the season, there was no, he couldn't bet on himself anymore because he was once again injured. So it goes on about how you interpret Jamal Murray and how you want to accept certain things that are part of Jamal's personality that people have ignored when he was better. It was interesting following last night how Jamal just kind of looked out of shape. He looked heavy. Now everyone, including Team USA, I mean, freaking Joel Embiid fouled out like less than 20 minutes into that game last night for minutes played for him. So, I mean, obviously not everyone was at their best. So I'm not going to take this a one game sample size, but you know, Jamal did look a little on the out of shape side, and he was slow, and he looked like he needed more conditioning. Now, he could be growing into that as the Olympics progress, but this has been a thing that's been stated repeatedly by people around the Nuggets and other things. And coming into this last season, Jamal bet on himself and then didn't come into the season prepared. And in like 9 games into the year, or 10, Jamal has a hamstring problem and is basically destined to play 59 games last year. And it was a poor move. It was a poor move for him financially because he was wanting the Supermax. So he wanted an All-Pro, an All-Star game, an All-NBA, an All-NBA All-Star game / thing. He wasn't eligible for any awards because he only played 59 games. And when he played, he was off and on good. And this has been the story of Jamal. You know, Jamal's been showing up in the playoffs generally. And when he hasn't been, the Nuggets haven't been as good. They need a guy. And I keep coming back to that Nikola Jokic clone myself comment. And I keep thinking about, like, if Jamal Murray was even three quarters of himself, they probably, I wouldn't say they probably beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they likely do. And I don't know if they had enough left to beat the Mavericks. I'll be honest with you. People are kind of deluding themselves with saying the Nuggets were on their way to another title. This Nuggets team was clearly exhausted. And I think the revisionist history that, you know, all it was just Jamal. If Jamal was better, the Nuggets would have been better. It's not that simple. The Nuggets were exhausted. And it was very clear that the entire team hit a wall the game six, and then it carried on into the second half of game seven. But I digress. Jamal Murray has also been a bit of an asshole through most of his career. Now, you don't have to be a nice guy to be a NBA basketball player. No one's asking that, to be quite honest with you. The only time it really comes up is when you are an asshole and you're not playing that well. And while Jamal Murray had an okay 2023-24 season, it wasn't at the end of the went in time when he's playoff Jamal. Didn't really happen, other than two games against the Lakers and a half-court shot against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Really, outside of that, Jamal really did not have a great playoffs, did not have a great season. And when you are like that and you're still an asshole, people will call you an asshole. And that is who Jamal has been, an asshole. Now, I don't tend to think that matters. I have dealt with players who are assholes before. I don't personally deal with Jamal anymore, but when I was covering him intently down at the arena, Jamal was a surly bastard. But you kind of accept that because of the good play in the locker room. It didn't affect the locker room. But lately, Jamal has been getting more and more bitchy, and he's not backing it up with his play. And this is the dangerous territory for Jamal. You know, he has really tried to, like, and I've said this before to other people. It's like Jamal, every fiber of his being, you could tell, is being put onto the court. Okay. Because he's not as athletic as some of these other guards. So when he's out there, he's outworking them. There's talent there, but it's a nexus of talent and really working extremely hard. And that's one of the reasons he gets these injuries. I don't think necessarily that it's always him coming into the year out of shape, but sometimes it is. And you can see every fiber of his being going into play. And when you do that, and when you put that much pressure on your joints and your soft tissue, it's something's going to happen. You're going to get these annoying injuries that result from overworking. I have a relative right now who's dealing with something very similar to that. It was just from overworking. So there are things that happen that will translate into injuries and stuff like that. Like I said in the past, Jamal was able to eschew a lot of the complaints about his personality while he was playing better. And what I'm informing people of is the Nuggets are in a position right now where they need to decide a lot of different things with the roster. And as time goes on, if you aren't backing up your demeanor with on the court stuff, people start pointing out that you're an asshole. And that is what the fundamental part of Jamal's personality is. He's a dick. And there was no better explanation of that than him watching that fight while people were asking him questions. He was extremely dismissive and disrespectful. Now, people, obviously, the media is not exactly popular. People will point out that, you know, who cares? Look, that's in the grand scheme of things, how you treat the media doesn't really matter. But it is part of a piece of a puzzle, and it's part of the whole picture that makes someone up. If your play and your ability to not let your personality affect the locker room is still part of the deal, then people will ignore being a dick. But if certain things are not being backed up with play, like Jamal this last year, outside of a couple moments, then people will start pointing out, this guy's a dick. And that's when really been Jamal's problem. Jamal has struggled this year to kind of back up the attitude. And the ledger went pretty significantly in favor of this guy is an asshole. And he needs to adjust this. I mean, look, we all have our moments. And anyone who's listened to this podcast the last 11, 12, 13 years, 13 now, shit, can tell you that I could be an asshole. Everyone can have a moment. They have a moment of weakness and these things happen. You know, some people are more like that than others, and Jamal's more like that. And I think this is all piling up, and it could be some stress on Jamal due to how the Nuggets ended the year, Calvin Booth's end-of-season presser, the things he said. All of that could be coming into focus and being some pressure on Jamal that he otherwise didn't have. So I understand that. It happens. I think that what I would advise Jamal if I was you know, giving him kind of life advice right now, is to just say, like, put your nose to the ground, do what you need to do. Because his answer to Troy Rank after the game against the U.S. was really terse and bitchy, and it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. All he had to do was say, like look, I honestly, I'll let my representative handle that. You know, I'm just focused on this, which is kind of what he said, but the way he said it was just clearly annoyed, right? But it is what it is. Jamal is who he is. And I think we are now at a point where Jamal needs to be aware that the side of the ledger that his personality is on doesn't overwhelm his play on the court. And he's got another year left on his contract. Supposedly there's an extension on the table that will be extended to him post Olympics, supposedly. So you never know. You never know if Jamal will just kind of overcome this, have a great Olympics, and then triumphantly come to the other side and have a contract extension and be ready to play at the level he was in 2023 playoffs, right? That's what we can hope, and I hope he gets there. In the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk to you about this Russell Westbrook thing. Just briefly going to mention it, because I think people are looking at it the wrong way. There's a reason this is taking so long, and I'm going to bring up a possibility as to why it's taking so long. I'll be doing that right after the break.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So the Russell Westbrook thing is interesting. I do believe this plays into some of the Nuggets' weirdness, and I discussed the weirdness in the last podcast. The Nuggets are very weird this year. Some people took offense to that, but it's true. The Nuggets have been bizarre this year, and it stems from Calvin being not exactly great with the front-facing part of being a GM. And, you know, some of it is just the typical Kroenke stuff, which, you know, we're going to have to deal with as Nuggets fans. But the Westbrook thing is weird because people have been pointing out over and over. There's two things that happened. DeAndre Jordan has not been officially signed yet. It was announced pre-free agency that DeAndre Jordan was going to sign minimum contract for 1 year. It hasn't been official yet. And two, Russell Westbrook is not on the Nuggets. So there could be some possibilities of why that is. I do think it's pretty straightforward as to why things are being held up right now. There's a lot of transactions being held up right now because the NBA is just at a bizarre place. Some teams are most of the teams are treating the second apron as a hard cap, and others are not, like the Boston Celtics. So there's this kind of this weird nebulous middle ground. And now that it was reported that the media deal is official now. Now that that is there, I think it'll be easier knowing that the cap will jump 10% this next year. So the teams will officially know what the cap will be next year and the year after and the year after. It'll be predictable, along with growth in league revenue. So, you'll have a baseline of 10% because of the media deal. So that'll loosen things up a bit. But there's other factors here. And with Russell Westbrook, it really comes down to the Nuggets. It's the same problem they had prior to the draft when they were projecting to everyone they wanted Daron Holmes. Nuggets have such a hard time with subterfuge. I don't get it. They just state who they want and then they end up overpaying. I just don't think this front office is very good at playing a game. It's another added to the list of the weirdness with this Nuggets team. But part two of that is that the Los Angeles Clippers have no incentive to help out the Denver Nuggets. None. They really don't have any incentive to do the Nuggets a financial solid. Which is essentially what that would be. The Nuggets are really looking to have Russell Westbrook at a minimum contract for 1 year. And that would require him being waived. Either traded and waived to another team or waived by the Clippers. And the Clippers, I think, like with any other team, would just prefer that he be traded for assets. And I think that the Nuggets kind of, through their lack of subterfuge, have kind of backed themselves into a weird corner where I believe the only way, unless the Clippers relent, the only way the Nuggets are going to be able to get Russell Westbrook is if they trade for him, and then that gets into a weird situation. I do think the Nuggets would rather sign him for the minimum vet deal. And why the Nuggets are held up on the DeAndre Jordan thing, I don't know. Maybe that plays a factor to it. I'm not reporting anything. I just don't know. So where we're at right now is that the Nuggets are just kind of waiting for the Clippers to do them a favor. Essentially is what it is. Trade them to a team so he can be cut, or cut them themselves so they can sign him for a minimum. I don't think the Clippers, as I said before, I don't think the Clippers are inclined to do the Nuggets a favor. Now, they could still do something, and the Clippers could still do something and trade Westbrook to a team that he likes, and the Nuggets lose out. And then we're back to the nightmare scenario of Jalen Pickett being the backup point guard for the Nuggets. I think that is unlikely, but I do think that the holdup is people just need to understand the NBA. It's just the Clippers have no incentive to help the Nuggets out, truly. There is no reason for the Clippers to do the Nuggets a favor with their finances. And there's also no incentive for the Clippers to make the Nuggets better is a nebulous thing, so I'm not going to go there. But I think they don't have any incentive to make the Nuggets backup point guard more amenable. And there's other options that the Nuggets could trade for. But the Westbrook thing is part of the stew. And also the Nuggets are the ones who signed Zeke Nagy to a ridiculous contract last year. And that is hampering their flexibility. And there's all these things going on at the same time. So, you know, like, look, I'm not going to say that this is hopeless or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people need to understand there's a delay, and the delay is probably, I would say, 90% because the Clippers have no incentive to help the Nuggets out. And I think that all the trade scenarios for Russell Westbrook to acquire the, you know, to acquire Russell Westbrook, the Nuggets don't really have the requisite draft picks. Are they going to trade their 2031 first-round pick just to get a one-year deal for Russell Westbrook? That's not going to happen. So the Nuggets don't really have any incentive to trade with the Clippers for Russell Westbrook. The Nuggets would have to give up some of Calvin Booth's precious picks that he's drafted the last couple of years. You know, I don't think he's inclined to do that. So the Nuggets are at this weird, nebulous situation. And I think that that part is going to play itself out over time. I don't know. I honestly do not know what the Nuggets are going to do, how this will resolve itself. I mean, after I post this podcast, it could suddenly be up. I'll be honest with you, I that's happened before. So maybe my podcasting will be the thing that gets the Nuggets motivated towards something else here. I don't know. But where we're at the very present moment is the Denver Nuggets are in a state of holding because they don't have all the roster spots together. They don't have all the other stuff together, and it's just going to be really, really difficult to kind of navigate this new CBA landscape. And I think the Nuggets at this point are kind of highly motivated to get at least something behind Jamal Murray, depending on what that is. And we shall see. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know how this will resolve. I think we need to get to a better point with this Nuggets team because, as I pointed out in the last podcast, people are weird about the Nuggets because the Nuggets have been weird. And maybe you need to look, and fans need to look at this and say, you're just going to have to be patient here because it takes two to tango, and the Nuggets' tango partner has no incentive to help the Nuggets out. So we all need to keep that in mind. All right, this did end up being a short podcast today, and that's how I think you all probably appreciate that sort of thing with me. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast. I'm going to be back probably on Saturday with another episode. Oh, by the way, it's going to be ridiculously hot here in Denver if you're listening to this. Try to stay cool because it's going to be absolutely insane this weekend. Over 100 each day. So be safe out there. Hopefully, if you have air conditioning in your house, be safe. And hopefully this thing doesn't get too bad and we all make it through this ludicrously hot weekend so we can all have a better week next week. Thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast. I'll be back on Saturday with another episode. Goodbye.